You're listening to SBS News.
Prince Philip was Britain's longest living royal consort, although his famous lack of diplomacy sometimes stole more headlines than his gallantry and decades of service. The son of Prince Andrew of Denmark and Greece and Princess Alice, descended from Queen Victoria, he had a childhood that was no fairy tale. The family had to flee to Germany following the overthrow of the Greek monarchy on a British warship. The one-year-old was carried in a humble fruit box. He saw his parents' marriage dissolve, his mother devoted her life to God, and his father to gambling. An 18-year-old Philip joined the Navy a few months into World War II, an event he said was an eye-opener.
A lot of 15-inch guns going off, which I hadn't heard before, and the whole, it made even big ships like that rock about a bit. He suddenly realised that life was for real.
It was there that he met his future wife when she was 13. They fell in love and corresponded until 1946, when Philip asked to marry her.
It's easy to see the radiant happiness of the princess as she and her very good-looking husband-to-be pose for the cameras in the palace.
Buckingham Palace delayed their engagement until she turned 21. He was made Duke of Edinburgh and they married in 1947. As royal consort, he was forced to renounce his Greek and Danish titles. He became a naturalised British subject, adopting the anglicised last name of Mountbatten. Within a year, son Charles was born, later daughter Anne and sons Andrew and Edward. As Prince Philip's royal duties increased, he gave up his military career.
I think there was a general understanding that it would be more sensible if I didn't go on with the Navy.
When Elizabeth was crowned in 1953, Parliament passed special legislation to keep Windsor as the royal family's name. The prince complained he felt like nothing more than an amoeba, the only man in the country, he said, not allowed to give his name to his own children. Together they toured the Commonwealth, attending state occasions, including the opening of the 1956 Olympic Games in Melbourne and a host of other royal duties.
When the Queen succeeded, we sort of chatted about who would do what, I suppose. And I thought that if I could relieve her of the management of the estates, it would save a lot of time.
In 1957, he was given the title of Prince. He even found time to visit the Antarctic and founded the global Duke of Edinburgh Award Scheme for young people.
Exposure to new activities, greater self-confidence, wider experience, contacts beyond the narrow circle of home and school, compassion through understanding the misfortunes of others.
He was a passionate conservationist, heading the World Wildlife Fund.
At the basis of it all is this colossal increase in the human population. It's one of the living species of the planet, but it's reaching plague proportions.
He allowed cameras to film intimate royal moments long before reality TV. Speaking to the US network NBC's Meet the Press programme in 1969, he explained that the British royal family's willingness to engage with the public was one reason why it had not followed many other European royal families into oblivion.
In the United Kingdom, the monarchy, I think for a long time, has been much closer to the population as a whole, and therefore has responded to has been more in touch and responded to different attitudes, whereas I think the monarchies of Europe are much more stylized, they're much more rigid in their concept, and this has eventually destroyed them.
But the press would become far more intrusive, and his relationship with reporters was often prickly. On a visit to Victoria in 1985, the prince stayed at the Hilton Hotel rather than Government House because of a local political scandal at the time. Reporters pressed him on how he felt about being moved, and the prince was displeased.
I'm perfectly happy to be put up wherever's convenient.
Do you think it's some sort of slight against you, then?
I'm not answering that question.
Let's come on to another question, please. If
what rule do you represent?
Channel 10.
I might have guessed.
Your Highness, I represent the ABC. Obviously, the reason behind your staying in the Hilton Hotel...
Oh, come off it. Look, if you're going to talk about that, I'm leaving.
Paparazzi photographers were widely blamed for the Paris car crash that killed his former daughter-in-law Diana and her companion Dodi Al-Fayed. Prince Philip was praised for supporting his grandson through the trauma, but also accused by Dodi Al-Fayed's father, billionaire Mohammed Al-Fayed, of orchestrating the fatal crash.
If Prince Philip walked in here now and sat down here, what would you say to him? I will tell him he is the biggest gangster, crooked person in the history of a great nation.
Investigations of the crash found the driver had been drinking, and there was no evidence to support any of the conspiracy theories that abounded following the crash. And then there were the gaffes. The Duke of Edinburgh repeatedly sparked outrage. His apparently candid comments often led to accusations of racial prejudice, telling British students in China that they should avoid staying too long or they would go slitty-eyed. He asked Indigenous performers in Queensland if they still threw spears. On Australia Day 2015, Prince Philip was controversially given a knighthood by then Prime Minister Tony Abbott.
I particularly acknowledge Prince Philip for his long life of duty and service.
The so-called captain's pick drew widespread ridicule, and Mr. Abbott later admitted it was a mistake. With the support of the Queen, the Duke of Edinburgh finally withdrew from public engagements at the age of 96. One of his best friends was Martin Palmer.
I think his greatest achievement has been to support the Queen through probably one of the most tempestuous periods that the monarchy has ever been through, and to, in a sense, to wear the trousers in the family so the Queen could wear the crown.
As his health deteriorated, Prince Philip was rarely seen, attending only a handful of family events, but he continued to make headlines.
The Duke of Edinburgh has been involved in a car accident. Prince Philip, who is 97, is not injured.
Having witnessed many historic moments, the final chapter in the Duke's long life was defined by another global crisis. The royal family was not immune to the reach of the COVID-19 pandemic. The Queen and Prince Philip were isolated in Windsor Castle as Britain went into lockdown. Prince Charles echoed the thoughts of many families.
Unfortunately, at least you can speak to them on telephones and occasionally do this sort of thing, but it isn't the same, is it? You really want to give people a hug every now and then.
On his marriage to the sovereign, he admitted he could possibly be something of a trial at times.
You can take it from me that the Queen has the quality of tolerance and abundance.
Throughout his 7 decades at the Queen's side, Prince Philip maintained an unshakable commitment to a sense of duty, a commitment that Her Majesty paid tribute to.
He is someone who doesn't take easily to compliments. But he has quite simply been my strength and stay all these years. And I and his whole family, and this and many other countries, owe him a debt greater than he would ever claim, or we shall ever know.
Alan Lee, SBS News.